Euro bestaat. Oh. There we go. Okay, so there you go. All right, well, you can take your Bibles and go to John 21 today. We'll be in 21. They're having leftovers from yesterday. Yes, before I get too far ahead, if you would like sermon notes in English or Ukrainian, you can scan the code and they will give you a document you can read. I thought I had this open. There. Yeah, my Bible is over here. All right, so today it's John 21, 1 through 19. And I had also titled it, I'm Gonna Go Fishing. But there's also another title, there's a question being mentioned there. Do you love me? So it's going to be a... Jesus for the third time revealing himself to the disciples, or some of the disciples. And he's going to do that as they have been working all night and has been fishing. I have lots of great maps today. It's been a long time since we've had maps. So we're over in Judea and over there. This is the mention of how many legions the Romans had at some points. And so, if this is going to work, we're going to be up there. Sea of Galilee. We can also see. It's up here. Yeah, there. There you go. And then we zoom in. So it's the Sea of Galilee, also called in this part called the Sea of Tiberias. So it's in the northern part, and also there you can see when we were in Matthew, we heard about all the things Jesus was doing and most of his ministry around the lake and feeding 5,000, walking on the water, and all those things. They were often in Capernaum as well. And then this is I just like the picture. I spent a lot of time finding it again. This is just an overview of the Sea of Galilee. This maybe potentially could be the boat that they're fishing in today. As you can see, it's found from between 100 before and 100 after. So, and they would be more than five people, so they could actually do it. Maybe that's the boat they're fishing from, something like that. All right, so we'll go read together, and then we'll all come back and we'll talk, see what the Lord does through this this text. Well, maybe just before, as Kylene alluded to last week, it was the theological high point where Thomas, after doubting, confesses that Jesus is his Lord and God. And then John says, lots of other things happen, but the things I have written is so that you could believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So the whole purpose of why John is writing the book we had last time, and also the culmination of his introduction, where he talked about the Word being God and being with God and the Word coming into the world. So we're going to have an outro this Sunday and next Sunday of the book. I'm just thankful, so thankful that we have gone through John. I hope you have been as encouraged as I have. So I guess I thought it has been great. But let's read. And so 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself in the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got into land, they saw a charcoal fire in a place which with fish laid out on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net full of large fish, 153 of them. Although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them. So with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," he said to them. "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. When you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This was said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So we have this, and I guess I've just had more time to think about it. Like last week, like what was going on between Jesus showing himself to some of the disciples and then the 8 days passing, what was that like for the disciples? Again, this question kind of comes up again because there's been some time now from these times where Jesus has shown himself. What are they doing? What are the disciples doing? They've been given this task. They just don't know exactly what to do. So they kind of go back home. They go back home. I mean, we know how to fish. We pride for ourselves. We wait for something to happen. So we have some of the same characters here. We have Thomas from last time. He was just dead last time. Thomas the twin, the one he was going to go to Jerusalem when Jesus was persecuted to die with him. Then he was stood up for him. He also asked questions, and then he denied him, and then he confessed he was God. He's with him. Peter's there. James and John are there. And then two of the other disciples are there. And so the plan is not as silly as if I would go try finding fish. Because at least three of these has this as and their occupation, to go find fish. So it's not, the setting is not like all crazy, but it is interesting to see what are they doing in those days when Jesus sometimes shows up, sometimes he's not there. And what is it of the kindness of Jesus that does that he comes and shows himself to them? There's a big, so that's a big part of today's text as well. And he even says it in the beginning. John says it even in the beginning, this is how it went down, or this is how it did, this is how it happened. And then he said this is the third time that Jesus has done that. And Joseph, he mentioned, we've done this series where we talk about what's going on when God asks questions. Because it's not like God doesn't know. So why does God ask questions? And we'll see this with Jesus today. He's going to ask some questions to Peter. But why he's going to ask those questions? Because he knows. So why is it that sometimes God asks us questions, or even people in the text? One of the first question is, where are you? Why, way back in Genesis, when God is asking, where are you? God knew where Adam was. But it was for us as people to think about it. I was even, as I was preparing, that's also why we sometimes it's done in teaching. The teacher doesn't ask questions that they don't know answers to. Sometimes we do as parents too. Where are your shoes? We know where the shoes are, but they have to go find them. But it's to make this realization, this connection to what is going on. And so in this instance, the disciples decide to go fishing, and I can honestly say I have never fished in my life, so I'm probably the worst person to get any fishing advice from. But I have read about people going fishing, and so they're saying at this time it's better to go fishing at night, because in the day the fish they go lower to the bottom, and then with the nets they have at this time they can't catch them. So they go out at night, and they should be able to catch fish at night. That's how you do it. Not in the morning, because the fish will go down. So they're toiling and trying to get that boat out and the nets down and try to get some fish. And they've been working maybe six hours in the night, and they've caught nothing. So I'm not sure how the mood is in the boats. I don't know if the two others are not mentioned because they were grumbling. No, I'm totally speculation. But I mean, if you are, maybe they're just having a fun time. I don't like sailing either, so I cannot see at all and at all how this can be fun being on a boat for so long and not catching anything. But back to the point. They're out there, and the sun is starting to come up. And then this person is going to yell out to them and ask if they've caught anything. I was thinking, why is that Why would a man, why would someone on the shore yell out to some people 100 yards out? You have to carry your voice to get it out there. And you can say, well, maybe he's wanting to buy some of the fish. Maybe he's hungry. He also wants breakfast. Maybe he's just wanting to get some fresh fish. But this turns into something totally different. He also has a endearing. He says, "Children, have you caught any fish?" So you maybe I would think maybe it's an older man of some sort if he calls them children. But it's an interesting way to enter into the conversation. Because they say no, and then he responds, "Well, just throw the net onto your right side of the boat." And they do. And then they can't get the net into the boat again. All they've been working on out, catching nothing. Now the sun's coming up, and this man just tells them to do that. And then the interesting thing is that when that happens, the disciple loved John, the writer says, he says, it's the Lord. So from going into, this is maybe some strange guy who want to buy fish, to like, no, this is the Lord. There's, no one else can do what he just did. We worked all night, and we got nothing, and then he says, throw it there, and then the net is full of fish. It's the Lord. John is more hesitant than Peter. We saw that when they were running to the grave as well. Peter just barges in. Then Peter does a very interesting thing. He just jumps into water. And I am like, why is he doing this? I mean, why? John has come to the conclusion that he observes what's going on. Like when he goes into the tomb, he observes, this is Jesus, this is the Lord. And then he's just in his mind thinking about this. He tells Peter, he puts on his clothes and jumps into water. And I was like, well, wow. You could have just, you know, sailed with the other people. It's 100 yards. You would be there highly likely at the same time. But he reacts differently. They both react differently. And they, in this way, how they respond to Jesus and knowing who had just provided this amazing miracle for them. That although they had tried all night, they found nothing. And then, by his words, they filled the net with 153 fish. John is just thinking about this, Peter reacting immediately, jumping into the water, and then trying to swim in towards the shore. How do we react when we know it's Jesus? Maybe I would see myself a little more like John and probably say, oh, it's probably Jesus. Or do we just throw ourselves in the water and go out to Jesus? Well, the other people, they sail back dragging the fish in. As they come to shore, Jesus has started a fire, has some fish on and some bread on, and invites them to come near. He says, bring some of your fish. And Peter, apparently stronger than most of the other ones, goes up and then he pulls in all those huge fish. And John astonished, saying, yeah, the nets didn't break or anything. Jesus invites them to come and have breakfast with him. And then you have this very interesting part here where none of them dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew It was the Lord. The kindness and goodness of God revealing himself through Jesus Christ. And even after his resurrection, shows his mercy and grace on the disciples. And here again, he shows himself to them. And they know it is him. So Jesus feeds them. He gives them bread and he gives them fish. And John adds, this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to them after he had died. They went from having no food to have food in abundance. They went from being unsure of that person, who is that person yelling, to knowing it was their Lord. So I think I will dare to say that this passage actually has nothing to do with the fish. It's something to know to do with what, how is it that they get to know who Jesus is? And what does he do as he meets them? He meets them in where they have nothing and gives them abundance of food, but also of a knowledge of who he is. They know it's the risen Jesus, their Christ and Lord, God with us. They just knew. I think that's a beautiful thing. We can ask ourselves, do we know? We're invited to come to Jesus. But do we know who he is? We've been going through John, so we've been really trying to figure out, explain who he is. But do we really know? Not just, I know about who Jesus was. But do we really know that he is our Lord, God, and Savior? Jesus provides for his disciples by showing himself. Because it must have been a strange time when he's coming and going and different things. He's talked about the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit hadn't really empowered them yet. Jesus shows that he is sovereign. He shows that to the disciples as well, that he knows where the fish is. He just said, just throw the net there. And then breakfast came out of the sea. He serves them still, as Karine was mentioning earlier. He is Lord God of all things. Everything was made through him and for him, as Hebrews writes. He owns everything. Still, he chooses to go to the lake on an early morning to make a fire, to make breakfast for his disciples. He sets an example, and has done that in his whole life. You should love one another as I has loved you. Jesus, loved by the Father, comes and does everything that he asks. And he shows them what love looks like. And he continues to. We have the miracle of the fish, but then at the, what do you say, the, we don't know about the conversation when I say eating, but now we kind of have something that looks like a pretty serious conversation where Jesus is going to ask these questions of Peter and they're going to lay his whole understanding of himself and his heart, his mind is going to be laid bare as Jesus asks these questions. Jesus had said great things about Peter. He calls him rock and different things. He also said, you're going to deny me 3 times. Which he did. We have no other conversation where Jesus addresses Simon. But here he addresses him. Simon, son of John. He uses his earthly descent and saying, this is where you are from. Like, this is who you are. And he asks him in really interesting questions. A question. Do you love me more than these? It's interesting, or it's an interesting question. I think, because he's, when Peter and all the disciples exclaim, we are not going to deny you, as Thomas as well, we'll die with you. I don't care if Peter says, if everybody else does, I won't deny you. Jesus asks, do you love me more than these? The questions that's going to be added is, of course, for Peter's benefit, but they're also for our benefit to reflect on who God is and reflect on what we believe about God. And Peter's put in this situation right in front of the one he miserably failed at. What is it that Jesus is wanting Peter to understand with these questions? What is it that John wants you to understand, that Peter needs to understand, and what is it that you need to know? We already said that, because that is what Thomas confessed, that Jesus is Lord and God. But what does that mean in our daily lives? So the first question that Simon gets, I wrote, will you follow? Will you lead? Will you teach? Will you feed the young lambs? Will you love others as I has loved you? But before you can do that, do you love me? I don't know about how you will respond. Hello, Christian, do you love me more than the rest of the people in the church? I don't know. Will you love me? I think yes, but I also think that you know better than that. this is where Peter's going to appeal back to Jesus and say, well, you know, even if I fake it, stand up and say, Peter would fake it and say, yeah, I love Jesus more than anybody else in the world. Well, Jesus would say, well, that's not true. I know. So he appeals back to Jesus and said, you know that I love you. So, And Peter must be like, but so why is he asking? Jesus then says, feed my lambs. Peter doesn't claim here to have more love for Jesus than the others. The second question, almost the same. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus makes it just about, this time, just about Peter, do you love me? And he appeals again to Jesus and says, yeah, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You are my Lord, and you know that I love you because you know that. Okay. Take care, shepherd my sheep. A third time. A third time. A third time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? This time Peter is grieved because this is the third time that Jesus asks him, do you love me? And here he kind of gives up in a sense of like, okay, we can't keep, I can't keep doing this because I know you know everything. And so you must also know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. Jesus gets Peter to wonder, to think, and to feel. Jesus is revealing himself through these questions. He also gets to confess who Jesus is. He gets to confess that he's his Lord. He knows that he loves him. And when he responds in faith and in what he says, Jesus also gives Peter a job. It's kind of in a sense, he goes at the core and says, who are you to Peter? In a sense, he mentions his name, and this is who you are, but how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the one who let me down and failed? Are you full of guilt and pain because you actually failed me? I know you, and I know you love me. Peter confesses those things and says it to Jesus. Jesus knew those things, but he wanted Peter to say them, to feel them, to know them. Because despite of him, as Jesus said, failing, whatever leftovers of those failures that he has, Jesus now, in a sense, picks him up and say, who do you say I am? Do you love me? As Peter responds to those things, he's confused through it because why keep asking? But Peter denied him three times. Jesus now gets him to respond to him three times. Many people call this the reinstatement of Peter. He takes him from broken pieces, from the guy who became a fisherman again, to the guy who needs to change his occupation to be a fisher of men because he knows Jesus loves him and that he loves Jesus. And so we see the passage, it also means that it's not just, I'm going to sit here. No, he tells him he has a job to do. So to love him for Peter is to do his will and to take care of the young believers, teach, bear witness about who Jesus is. Learn from the good shepherd to be one who shows people who the shepherd is. To take care of the weak, the small, the dumb, ones who are exactly like you have been, Peter. The ones that needs to go, the ones that needs guidance, and tell them about me. I believe that John showing this passage to all the people who have earlier in their lives denied who Jesus was. There's plenty at the cross and through Jesus' life. There's many people who had experienced miracles and then later rejected who God was, denied him. But John shows that there is possibility to be restored and forgiven and to become, to know who Jesus is and to love him and to do his will and to bring that good news to others. It shows that people can repent and the forgiveness is real. That Jesus could ask these questions that could trouble Peter and all the people because he's asking about what does our relationship look like? Jesus then goes in and ask the hard questions to restore their relationship. From his time of agony and sadness and frustration of denying him, he's now raised to be the one who is supposed to take care of the other people that will get to know Jesus. It is also an invitation to come and die. Jesus says this in 18. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to. This is said to show by what kind of death he was going to glorify God. After saying this, he said, follow me. Jesus has just reinstated him, giving this big role. And then he says, you're going to have a great life. Things are going to be great. And you're going to die. When you have finished being faithful, you're going to glorify God by dying. Jesus invites him into this life. He restores him. But the end of his life was going to be imprisoned and then killed. And the call is still, come, follow me. When we look at this passage, these questions that are being asked, God mentioning our names, who our parents was, in some sense, all our sins and failures, and then asking, do you love me? It's great hope, and I think it's an accurate picture of the gospel. That is not your earthly descent and your failures, but it is, do you love Jesus? That's the question. It's an invitation to come follow me, to be restored, have our sins forgiven. All the things that we have failed can be forgiven. And the question is, do you love me? And if we respond yes, Jesus says, follow me. Come walk with me and do the things that my Father has prepared for you before the world began, and walk in them and follow me. Love me, love others as I have loved you. And we would say, but Jesus, you already know that I love you. And he would say, yes, but you need to know that you do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for John the book. Thank you for having him writing this down, having Jesus that you're going right at the core of his heart, his mind, and ours as well. We see in this passage, he needs to know that you love him. He needs to be asked the questions to know that, to consider who you are and to respond to that. Respond in faith with, I'm giving my whole life to you. I will come follow. Lord, I pray for all of us here and one maybe seeing or listening later. I pray you would ask these questions of us often, that we might actually know and see. Know that you have loved us and you do love us. I pray that our response is the same. That we can say, Jesus, you know, I love you. Lord, I pray you give us the power of your Holy Spirit and the strength and endurance and the courage to live this out in the plans that you have had have for us. Let us see the light of where you lead us. Let us be joyful and thankful that you have shown us that you love us. Help us to see it more and more. Lord, just pray for anyone who haven't seen this. I pray you open their eyes and hearts that they today will see that you have shown that you love them in your Son Jesus. Pray for you. You be honored and glorified in Jesus' name.